You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
The education policies outlined by the Opportunities Party include free early childhood education for all, a reduction in the amount of testing and administration performed by schools, and creating a less competitive environment for schools to operate in. This morning, I spoke to the Opportunities Party Deputy Leader Jeff Simmons about their approach to education policy. But first, I asked him about the party's decision to have two deputy leaders and what this means.
I think it's really a signal for the future, you know. I mean, Gareth's always made it clear that he doesn't want to hang around in politics. And so, you know, it's a pretty clear sort of signal of setting things up for the future. And, I mean, Theresa is fantastic. She is, you know, she has some experience in politics, which neither Gareth nor I do. And she's obviously, you know, based up in Auckland, has a really strong environmental and business background. So she's, you know, really impressive operator.
So yes, today we're talking about education. So what do you see as the main issues facing our education system today?
The big issues with our education system are that we are not preparing our children for the world, the society, the economy of the 21st century. And the other big issue is the gap between rich and poor in terms of educational outcomes. And actually the number one way to solve both of those issues is through investing more in early childhood education. So this is what the international evidence tells us, that we should be investing more in early childhood education because it builds those soft skills that are needed in modern society. So instead of reading, writing and arithmetic, we now talk about, instead of the three R's, we talk about the four C's, you know, creativity, collaboration, critical thinking. And early childhood education prepares people for that. It also helps reduce the gap between rich and poor, because that's actually where those gaps develop, is in those early years.
And I also saw that one of your policies is to delay national standards until year six, and yet change the way that education is measured quite radically. The other one is to delay NCA until the final year of school. Can you tell me a bit about the reasoning behind those policies?
Yeah, so the New Zealand education system has some of the highest levels of testing and assessment and administration of any system in the world. And there's actually no evidence that it improves performance. What the international experience tells us is that we need to get good quality teachers and just trust them to teach. The reason behind that, again, is because the skills that are needed in a modern society are not really testable. You know, those sorts of soft skills that we're talking about don't get measured by tests. And when you test so heavily, teachers spend a lot of time testing rather than actually doing the teaching, and students spend a lot of time being tested rather than actually learning. So we want to really reduce that level of testing in society. You know, we don't want to delay NCA till the final year. The point is that we want to make sure that everyone leaves secondary school with a qualification, but there's no reason why kids have to be tested three times in three consecutive years for three different qualifications when all that matters is that they leave school with a qualification.
And so if there was a lot less testing, what sort of measures would be in place to make sure that kids weren't falling behind and could be picked up, that there were areas that they needed to have a bit of extra support in?
That's why we do still need some sort of qualification and some formal testing. So that's why we don't want to get rid of national standards or NCEA entirely. We just want to delay it. But actually, I mean, what the evidence tells us is that the best way to make sure that kids aren't falling behind is to leave it to teachers to do their own form of what they call formative assessments. So instead of trying to have independent objective testing coming from outside with all of the administration that comes with that, you know, teachers test in their own way all the time. And actually, if we have good quality teachers, they will be doing this on an ongoing basis. They'll know where their kids are at and they'll know what their kids need to deal with their own issues.
And what do you think of National's plan to get rid of the decile system and replace that with a more risk-based assessment?
Well, Well, I think it's a step in the right direction, and certainly the decile system has been a spectacular failure. I mean, we have seen since Tomorrow's Schools came in and the decile system was created, we have seen a wholesale, basically white flight, white affluent flight from low decile schools to high decile schools, because people have seen the decile as a proxy for school performance, whereas actually that's not the case. We know that schools right across the board perform pretty similarly. It's just that kids who are going to richer schools tend to come from a more affluent background and therefore, you know, perform better anyway. So we've got this weird vicious circle where, you know, lower decile schools, even though they're performing just as well, sometimes in some cases even better than richer schools, have been hemorrhaging students. And that imposes all sorts of costs on those schools. But fundamentally, this change from a decile to a risk-based system will not change the underlying